Are we recording?
Yes. So, Tony...
What kind of recorder is that? Wow. Is that a DAT recorder?
I don't know.
Is it a... What does it record on? Is it electronic? Does it have...
Compact flashcard
recorder.
Okay, well, anyways. So Tony, why did you decide to do some 5-minute TV shows?
Well, it was a mistake. I prefer to do much longer TV shows than that, you know, but it was just the air that day. I guess it was just the air. It was something about the way things felt. Let's do 5 minutes.
And you said, what the hell? Let's do
five minutes. Five. It's like, well, you know what? I think words are interesting. Sentences are interesting. You know, like a sentence. It has a certain sort of length. Like it's as long as a phrase out of a song. And then you've got a paragraph. A paragraph is sort of like the next logic length, you know. And that's about the length of a song. And that's about 3 to 5 minutes. It's about how long an idea is. I think an idea of, you know, and then if you can put in a couple of ideas in a thought, it makes a real thought happen.
Well, anyways, what are you tuning, Tony, anyways?
I'm just tuning up my auto harp here.
What the hell is an auto harp?
It's an instrument it's a zither with the automatic playing on it.
So do you play it and sing your songs at coffee houses?
You can do that. If you're that kind of person.
Okay, well, will you please play your auto harp and sing one of your songs?
Well, I don't have any particularly made-up songs ready to go, so I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to tune it up first here. You have to get it in tune.
Well, let me ask you this. I heard that you... teach at UB. What do you teach at the University of Buffalo College?
Oh, I teach video.
And,
that's right. Sort of more or less video anyway.
So you got any funny stories to tell the people out there about your classroom experiences?
Funny stories about classroom experiences. Let's see.
I mean, what was the stupidest question a student ever asked you?
Oh, my God. That happens all the time. I don't know.
What were there any, like, students that you, after you had experience that you say, boy, this student must be on drugs. I wish I never saw this student.
Well, you're asking me about the unfortunate side of it, you know, but I think... The thing about it is that most of it is pretty good, I would say offhand, yeah, most of it's pretty good. Pretty good experience rather than a pretty bad experience.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, do you write poems or songs or short stories or anything like that?
No. No.
You don't write anything at all?
I try to write something now and again.
Okay, but you don't define it as a poem, a short story, or...
I try to write down my ideas.
Sayings or phrases or...
Journal? I've been interested in a lot recently in... Wait a minute. Yeah, that's getting there.
Don't know the instrument you're tuning, and I don't know what the hell you're doing, and...
I've got this little wrench here, and I keep...
I still think you should use one of those electric tuners to be more accurate, but you seem to be doing it just by ear.
And I don't care about accuracy.
So what if you're a little off-key?
Hey, what do you mean, off-key? Listen to this. How's that? That's not bad.
No, that's not bad. Got any words?
I can hear it now. I can hear it now. Yeah. And then it'll play in a minor key. Oh, yeah. It does all kinds of things. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so now it's pretty happy.
Yeah.
I got it kind of together, don't you think? Now I have to screw it up a little bit.
Yeah, but I think you need to come up with some good lyrics with that melody. Well, anyways...
Yeah, so back to where we were. Now they got that out of the way.
What do you do when you have a writer's block?
Oh, I was going to say that I've been interested in theories about music, and so I've been studying the origins of music in ancient Greece, of ancient music theory. I've been studying the origins of music theory in ancient Greece because I was interested in different tuning systems. That's why I have a lot of auto harps, because I have different tuning systems. This is just sort of like the normal chord tuning system. You know, that's pretty normal. This is normal. But I have some that are very unusual, and I've been interested in this, and then people say, oh, yeah, like they start talking about Pythagoras and you know, like numbers, and I thought, well, where did all of this come from, and how did this get into the hopper, you know, of Western culture, and is it still there, and what is it doing? And when the more I read about it and the more I figured out about it, the more I realized that the agenda was was basically to try to protect the aristocracy at a time when democracy was being developed in ancient Greece, and that the whole idea of this number culture and the cosmos and the numbers and the, you know, like the cosmic order and everything like that was a way of trying to convince people that they should stay in their place and that they should not, you know, like they should recognize hierarchies of social hierarchies, and that they shouldn't feel like that they should be, you know, equal and so forth any more than the different existing hierarchies of planets and so forth that are regulated by numbers are happening. And the way they convinced people of that was by showing that the sounds of music already reflect numbers, and that the numbers rule the world, and that since there's a hidden order that you don't know about, that you should pay attention to it, because you better watch out, because if you fly in the face of the existing... Yeah, so when I found out that all of the music theory came from this, I was really alarmed. I started writing about that. See, that's one thing I've been writing about. And then I went on where did it go next? And I found that it went to, Roman period, you know, which began to collapse around the time of St. Augustine, who wrote a book about music. St. Augustine did a book of De Musica, he wrote. And this was based on a time when he was into his sort of like Platonic period. And so I was interested in what that was all about. And I started read his confessions, you know. I found that when people write confessions, they always put a lie in the middle, you know, because why are they confessing to something anyway? Why confess? You know, if you look at Rousseau's confessions, what you find is right in the middle is the whole story about how he wrote this opera, and then everything about his description of the opera suggests that he didn't write it and that it was a fraud. Which I believe. I believe it was a fraud. And I also believe that there was a scandal in the life of St. Augustine, you know, that he was trying to excuse himself from. I'm not going to say here exactly what that scandal was, but if you read between the lines, you might be able to figure it out.
So in the ancient Roman...
So I'm writing about this stuff, too.
Right.
Yeah. So and then I'm writing about Rousseau, too. I like to, you know, I'm trying to write about these things. I had an idea the other day I started to write about. See, I figured that, you know, all of a sudden it occurred to me, you know, the idea of atoms goes back to Greece. And I thought, well, the idea of these musical numbers got into the area of incommensurable numbers and the problem of irrational numbers that the Greeks discovered that almost blew their whole theoretical thing to death, you know. It was a terrible moment for them when they discovered that the square root of 2 was an irrational number. But then this focus on irrationality and trying to make compatible measurements, you know, must have inspired them to think of the idea that everything was made not only of number, but maybe even was composed of little indivisible, measurable, separate parts. And if this all came out of music, that's pretty amazing that all this stuff came out of music, like atom theory. Does the atom theory could indirectly come out of music? That's a kind of interesting story to me. I like these historical tragedies.
So you like researching and writing about history, it seems.
Oh, yeah, 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 right now. Yeah. Aspects of it, yeah.
So in the Roman and Greek times, when they composed the music, what usually came first, the melody or the lyrics? It seems like you're speechless, so you don't know the answer to that.
Which came first? Oh.
The melody or the lyrics? When people wrote songs back in ancient Rome, what came first, the melody or the lyrics?
Well, who wrote songs in Rome?
Nobody wrote songs?
I don't know if they really did. Oh, you know what they wrote? They wrote chant, like Ambrosian chant. Chanting like the Christians did, chanting. Well, see, earlier than that, there was very little music in the church because among the early Christians, we're not talking about Christians here because we're fundamentalists, you know, this gets way off the track. They don't want you to really look at the early history. But among the early Christians, they were opposed to singing and to music.
Why?
Because it was associated with whoring. You know, like the whole thing about music was
singing.
The guys got together and then they would have a woman, these women played a flute and woo, and then, you know, like they would have like these sexual like encounters and so forth. And so music and it was associated with excess, you know. But the early Christians were also sort of proto-feminists, like they were... They represented a social revolution in the place of women because under the old Mosaic law, you know, a man could divorce a woman just by saying, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you, and she's gone, and there was no place in the society.
No lawyers, no legal decrees,
there was no
nothing.
Place for her in the society other than the street. That's why there's all these prostitutes and so forth in the, you know, New Testament is because, you know... Uh-oh.
So we got a phone call now. Can't you turn your cell phone off?
Hello?
Hi, Tony.
I'm being interviewed.
Oh, you
are? Yeah.
So this is a first. A phone
what?
Call during a book interview. What's next?
So, by whom?
A terrorist?
Somebody in Toronto who's has a representative here talking to me. Yeah. Well, not right this second, but...
I can tell you later.
Okay, I'll call you back. Where are you on your way to the...
I was just... Oh, yeah, I got my hair cut.
Oh. Well, it's wonderful to hear you. I'll call you back.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So that must have been a powerful call because it snapped a string.
Okay, let me ask you this. Who's your favorite band or musical performer?
Me.
Yeah.
It's always fun when you do your own, don't you think?
So you like to sing and play your auto harp at bars?
I usually play violin.
At violin?
Violin is mine, yeah. That's my usual thing. But I play different. I've got a gig coming up downtown next weekend with at Sound Lab. That's a cool avant-garde sound place.
Could you play one of your songs right now?
No, I don't know. Maybe I could play this there, but... But I'm playing with a really outstanding drummer, Tim Barnes. And I have to figure out something a little more advanced than auto harp to do with him, I think.
What's your favorite music? Classical, rock, jazz?
Well, I've learned to like all different kinds of music. How about you?
Yeah, I like all different types.
Do you like gagaku? That's Japanese court music. That's something pretty good. I like also 70s Zairean music, pop music, like bands like, coming out of Papa Wemba, and but more especially like Pamela Munca and, all those people. And I like,
What about rap music? You like rap?
Yeah, well, when I'm in Buffalo... There's not so much on the radio. I often tune in BLK because they have some of the most adventurous music in Buffalo. It's like some of it is so well produced, so interesting.
But
the novelty, a lot of novelty.
But doesn't some of that rap music that has these hate lyrics against women and children, doesn't that get you angry sometimes?
Oh, yeah. I don't hear the lyrics very much. They just go by me. I just hear the musical sound usually.
What do you mean the lyrics just go by you?
They just go in one ear and out the other. I don't usually hear lyrics when I'm when I hear music. See, that's one reason I probably have trouble telling you about which comes first, the sounds or the words and all of that kind of thing. Who cares about the sound? Oh, I see. Well, maybe that's
important. I'm saying if you hear a rap music.
Yeah.
That's got these hateful lyrics against women and children and blacks and Jewish people. Doesn't that get you angry, and doesn't that want you to protest this evil nonsense?
Well, I don't think that's mostly what I hear. Most of the music that I hear is about like relationships and things like... take off all your clothes. Yeah. Take off all your clothes. It's hot in here. Woo. You know, things like that, I think, are, you know, that gets to me. I think that's a good idea.
Well, I'm saying...
Take off all your clothes. That's a good idea. You know, I mean, it's also assaultive on the woman. I agree. But it's like, a form of adventure, kind of adventurous form.
I hate to tell you this, Tony, but we sort of ran out of time. So do you got any final message to the great people living in this world?
Well, I'd say, take off all your clothes. No, it's hard to think of a single message. Because there's so much left that we haven't got said today. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry we didn't get more focused. But, you know, there's a few hidden treasures in what we've gone over. And I think the encounter between us is like an incredibly fascinating study. Don't you?
Any sayings like...
I should interview you.
Well,
interview yourself.
I thought maybe you would have, like, say, a catchy phrase or sayings, like, live every day like it's like it's your last day because it could be, or never give up on life, or anything like that?
Nah. People aren't going to listen to anything like that anyway. You got all of you people out there, whether you're in Canada or in the United States, you got to dump these fucking Republicans.